Welcome to the Week in IndyCar on the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, presented by Cooper Tires. It is Friday morning, October 5th, and I have just changed my mind. I just got off the phone with IndyCar's newest rookie announcement, that being Chip Ganassi Racing's Felix Rosenqvist, and I was intending to hold this and roll it into next week's Week in IndyCar episode. And then after finishing, I realized this kid is so good and so much fun that why wait? Let's just post this as a standalone Week in IndyCar, call it a bonus episode with Felix, since today was the first day he was available. So that's what I'm going to do. The kid, yeah, I think y'all are going to love this guy. He is a fierce, fierce competitor, but also has a lot of personality, fairly warm and fun. Usually has a big smile on his face for what he's doing, and also tells us here that he's not coming to be anybody's understudy. He's coming to be a teammate, but does not position himself as the number two driver, and I think that's just a really strong insight into who he is, and also why Chip Ganassi has been pursuing him for a couple of years now. They obviously have wanted a stronger teammate for Dixon, try and recreate what they had in the Dario and Dixon days, or the Weldon and Dixon days. And even though Felix is a rookie and will make rookie mistakes, as Mike Hull told us during Tuesday's Week in IndyCar episode, they see the kid has a potential to give them a 1-2 punch wherever they go. Felix winning, Scott winning, you name it. And listening to him, you'll definitely, I think, get a feel for his mindset, which is what they were most interested in getting a hold of. So, fun talking with Felix. He was on the balcony in his apartment in Monaco, and so using WhatsApp as well. The Wi-Fi signal was a little bit weak in the beginning. There's a little bit of background noise, but it cleans up pretty quickly after that. So, got about a half an hour, a little over half an hour with Felix. Learn all kinds of things, how to pronounce his last name correctly, if and what growing up in Sweden with snow has done for helping to craft his driving capabilities. And we also have something new here, which is fun. I've relied on listener questions from Facebook and Twitter since I started the show a couple years ago. And just now, thanks to Michael Swope and our friends at the Reddit IndyCar group, we have added in questions from Reddit. We actually kick off with questions from Reddit after Felix and I do a little bit of chatting. So welcome, Reddit IndyCar group. And so yeah, we now have three social media platforms filing in questions, and we're going to keep doing that. So whether you are Twitter, Facebook, or Reddit user, thank you all for taking part here and sending in some great questions for us, and please keep doing so. Let's see, what else? You might have also read my racer colleague Chris Medland posted a story about Sauber Formula One driver Marcus Ericsson having a serious interest in IndyCar and also being in talks with Carlin and I think at least one other team about coming over here full-time, which would bring us two Swedes along with Felix, which could be fun. And let's see, what else? Heard from a couple other drivers here since Tuesday's Week in IndyCar went up. And while they are not in IndyCar, they are actively speaking with two IndyCar teams about possibly being in IndyCar. Also had a story go up on Racer about the few seats that are left and how many people are going after them that we know of, at least. So yeah, we got two things happening. We have most of the full-time seats already filled, and we also have a heck of a lot of people trying to complete that puzzle to get into the full-time seats, part-time seats, and whatnot. So if you're looking for a little bit of IndyCar to close out the week, head over to Racer, and you'll find some fun stuff there. Other than that, you might be a new listener to the show here, and one of the questions I get on a somewhat regular basis is, where do I subscribe, what's the best format, etc., to try and get a hold of what's going on here. And if you are an iTunes person, you can certainly subscribe there. After that, Podbean, which is our host for everything, they also are a place where you can subscribe And after that, we are on Google Play, Spotify, etc. Lots of places where you can pick up this little Marshall Pruitt podcast. I believe you can also, you know, whether it's a Stitcher or so many of the other aggregators, you can do some fun stuff there. We have our Marshall Pruitt podcast Facebook page where a lot of people, most of the episode questions get sent in there, which you might consider joining, liking, or doing something with. And last little note, in and among everything else that is going on, I'm hoping in the next month, maybe 2 months, the new MarshallPruittPodcast.com site will be up and live. And what it is, you'll have everything we've ever done posted there, every episode dating back to number one with Mario Andretti. And then we're also going to filter things and create separate pages within the site. So if you just want your Week in IndyCar, get every episode we've ever done there, Week in Sports Cars, the in-car audio, ambient audio, the long-form features, the My Racing Life and Career episodes. So in the works, behind the scenes, and once we have that, there'll also be a separate page on subscribing and make it really easy. Any questions, you'll just be able to go to the MarshallPruittPodcast.com, get everything, and also figure out whatever you want in terms of listening to this little silliness every week. All right, let's get going with our man Felix Rosenquist from a balcony in Monaco. And thanks again to our sponsor, Cooper Tires, for making this all possible. Felix, welcome to your first visit to the Week in IndyCar podcast. And I can tell you, man, you've yet to do your first IndyCar race, but we've already been overwhelmed with questions, with listeners wanting to get to know you. So I figured that's a good sign.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear. I think it helped that I've been to Indy Lights before, and not even a full season there, but it seems like, I at least have some fans in the U.S. already, so that's always a help when you're coming there. So, yeah, good to hear.
So you're in the middle of moving right now. You're still not, you still have a pretty busy racing season and life. Tell me about where you're at just right now in terms of mindset and work, and I don't know, it seems like you got a busy rest of the year before we even get you here for IndyCar.
Yes, so basically it's I'm just finishing off my year in Super GT, so we have two more races there. I've done some Formula E testing. We just done the announcement with Ganassi in Dallas last week, and yeah, I'm just changing apartments in Monaco, and I'm also gonna get a new apartment in Indianapolis in a while. So it's like it's a lot of things happening just now, and in a lot of different continents of the world. So couldn't be busier. Let's put it that way.
So since you came over and I first met you, and many first met you when you came over and did Indy Lights, I told you then, I want you here now. I don't want to let you go. Whenever I see talent, and I think when many folks see talent, they just want to see it in the best environment. Tell us a little bit about the last couple of years. You working with our friend, the crazy Stefan Johansson, to try and get you here, because it's not as if that effort just started for the 2019 season. There's been efforts to get you here. It just wasn't necessarily super easy with contracts and other obligations.
Yeah, it's been a long road to get to this point. That's why it's a huge relief to finally get this announced. It started back in 2016 when, after I won the European Formula 3 Championship, I didn't really have anywhere to go, funny as it sounds. And we took sort of the gamble to go to Indy Lights with Bellardi. And it was a completely new thing that I combined with many other things. And basically, I did a test with Ganassi, like a rookie test, driving Scott's car at Mid-Ohio, which, basically the connection with Stefan, that's how we got to that point to do the test. The test went really well. I think, and you know, we kept in touch after that with Chip and Mike and all the guys, and then the following year we were already talking about doing something, but for different reasons we couldn't do anything. And then I think this year, you know, it was just a perfect timing to finally get it done. And you know, I did a test last year as well, so I've really done quite a bit with the team already. Even if it's only two test days, you know, I feel like I know most of the, you know, the main faces in the team, and you know, I know how they work, and yeah, it felt quite, you know, natural when it finally happened. And yeah, it's just awesome to join such a good team, and you know, it's a little bit of a dream come true and walking on clouds for me at the moment. So.
Wow. Well, let me ask a couple other quick questions, and then we'll get into our listener questions, Felix. So, I know from speaking with Scott Dixon, with his engineer Chris Simmons, talking to Mike Hull, Dario Franchitti, not only was everyone impressed with you in those tests, you were incredibly fast, but it also seems like you just fit, right? Everything they said was like, yeah, we like this kid, great spirit, great feedback, just the connection was there. Did you feel that as well? Like, because as you know, sometimes you step into a car with a new team and you might go quickly, but maybe not all the personalities and maybe the fit isn't right. Did you feel like this one was?
Yes, I do. You know, I think my initial thought was that, you know, one of the best teams I worked with is Prema.
Yeah.
In Formula 3. And I felt immediately like a similarity to Prema, even if Ganassi is huge. I mean, it's probably three times bigger. You know, you have that main group of people that's been there for a long time, and it's a little bit of a family feeling, even if it's a big operation. And I think that's always very, I would say it's needed to have a successful operation, that people have fun. And I mean, you have to be professional, but it needs to be like a fun element to it, and you know, some history in the team. And I think Ganassi has all that. Then I think where I was in my career at the time, you know, I was relatively experienced, even I was 24 years old at the time, but I've done quite a fair bit of different driving here and there. And I think IndyCar really fit me at the time of my career, and I had enough experience to sort of get the most out of the car and to give proper feedback. And I think those two things just came together really well, and that's why we had a good test, and that's why we kept in touch.
I love it. You know, one other thing that stands out, in the last couple of days, Marcus Ericsson has expressed his interest in coming to IndyCar, and know that he's speaking with a team or two to see if he could make that possible. I'm guessing it'd be pretty darn cool from your perspective, even from mine as the son of a Saab mechanic growing up with a Swedish flag overhead all the time. We could go from zero Swedes to two in 1 year. That must tell me, again, if that happens for Marcus, it'd be great, but boy, that would be pretty cool as well, I'm guessing, from your perspective, Felix, seeing that your home country is producing talent that could maybe succeed over here too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably as big of a fan of Sweden as you can get as a country itself, and also from a racing point of view. So, you know, if Marcus came along, you know, unfortunately we lost him in Formula One now, but I think if he would go to IndyCar at the same time as I'm going there, it feels like, you know, we healed that wound from losing him in F1. And I would say that, you know, Kenny Brack has done a really, really good job at marketing IndyCar in Sweden, even if it was a long time ago now. You know, most racing people, I mean, people that are interested in motorsport, they know Kenny in Sweden, and he's a big name. And that makes this so much, you know, easier and bigger, you know, back in Sweden to promote. And you know, if Marcus comes in as well, it's going to be huge for Swedish motorsports. So I really hope that happens, because that will create more things in the future in America when it comes to Swedish drivers, I think.
Well, let's jump into some questions here, Felix. And for the first time, and thanks to our friends on Reddit, we have the Reddit IndyCar group that is has sent over some questions for us. So let's, normally we go with Twitter and Facebook, but we're going to kick off with Reddit. Thanks to them to joining in and helping us out here in the Week in IndyCar podcast. So it kind of follows the last topic. This comes in from L. Jones Areno, who says, "We recently heard from Anders Krohn that there's not a huge fan base for open wheel racing in Norway, with rallying being the most popular form of motorsport. He's asking, was it similar for you in Sweden? When did you become aware of IndyCar in particular?" And he said, "Welcome to IndyCar and looking forward to seeing you this year."
Okay. Yeah, I would say Norway and Sweden a bit different in that perspective, because we have had quite a lot of drivers in F1.
Sure.
And we had drivers in IndyCar, so I think Formula cars are bigger than anything in Sweden, I would say, and that's like the main, you know, interest area for Swedish motorsport fans. So, as I said, you know, having Marcus in F1 was huge for us, and I think me going to IndyCar now is going to be very well, you know, it's going to make a big difference. So yeah, I wouldn't complain, to be fair. Being a 9 million people country, I think we have plenty of support and couldn't really have asked for more, considering how long time we didn't have an F1 driver for until Marcus came along. So
yeah, and I would say it's something you would have grown up with. I'm trying to think, Stefan's IndyCar career might have wound up while you were, you know, still a very young boy, but at least for us, it has, you know, there was Frederick Ekblom, who was in the series for a little, in IndyCar for a little while, so the link, then obviously with Kenny coming along, but the link, while it's been broken for a little bit, I think it's just great to have it back with what's coming in IndyCar. Got a question here from me from Pucks20 asking about technical changes for 2019, talking about last year, the last season, IndyCar deregulated some items, let teams make some things. Not exactly sure what's coming for 2019, but there is a team managers meeting next week. Actually, I think it'll be this week for when this goes up. So we'll get a feel for if and what areas IndyCar will open up for teams to play with even more. Let's see. I'm going to move down here. I don't know if you're a fan of professional wrestling or WWE at all, Felix, but we got a question. I am, so that's probably why folks have asked. Got a question here from Satin Shy, who said, "Felix, if you were signed to be part of a WWE tag team, who would be your partner, and what would you call your team?"
Well, I have to say the only wrestler I really know is John Cena.
There you go.
He'd probably make a good team.
That's the thing, right? You always, I mean, you're not tall, but you're pretty solid. But yeah, if you go with someone,
I think we would complete each other. You know, I go low and you go high. You know? That's like on the oval.
I'm telling you, people have no idea how much they're going to love you in IndyCar, man. This is great. Let's see. Here's a question that comes in from 4SGTE. Says, "IndyCar and overseas races, are they too much of a risk right now? And this should the series wait until it grows a bit more? Maybe adds a third engine manufacturer? Or is going abroad a viable option in the near future?" Just curious your general thoughts, Felix. I know it's, you know, IndyCar's been to Brazil this decade, but as a whole, it's been a good while since IndyCar was going to the UK, going here, going there throughout the world. Do you have any sense as to whether IndyCar might be welcomed in Europe or elsewhere if it decided to do that again, as someone who travels throughout the world competing in races?
Yeah, I mean, I think from, you know, if you would ask me 3 years ago, I would probably say, you know, everyone should stick to their own market, really, because the interest might be lower. But having been to, you know, Japan, racing a lot, UK, as you mentioned. I mean, the interest is, the racing world, I mean, the community is so small that I think, especially in countries where it's so popular, like Japan and England,
yeah,
or UK, it should be, I mean, I think it would attract a lot of people to have a race, definitely. Then it's always difficult, you know, coming to different continents. It's hard to market a race, etc., especially if you only do one race. But I think it would not be a completely bad idea to have maybe one round in Japan again. I think there will be full grandstands for sure.
Yeah, that would be amazing. And the other point to the question there is IndyCar is holding some pretty interesting talks right now about getting a third manufacturer in. So that is actually moving along rather well. Here's a question from Bill Murray 43. And it assumes that in and among the million miles you've flown this year, Felix, that you've had a chance. But it's curious about which race from this year, IndyCar race from this year, did you enjoy watching the most and why?
I think I would say St. Pete, because the first race of the year is always the most fun, I think. And it was cool seeing Robert Wickens on pole. We were teammates in DTM, and we're, you know, we talk quite a lot between the races, even if we live far apart. And I really respect him. And it was just cool to see how well he did immediately in IndyCar, and unfortunately had that shunt in the last lap or the last restart there with Alex Rossi. But it was a really nice race, and I think it showed really how successful the new car was.
One more question here, and that's asking about, I guess, the learning part and the coming on board part, Felix, with Ganassi. And the question is about years worth of data the team has gathered with the new Universal Aero kit and such. He's asking and curious if you think you'll be able to really spend time before you get into the new season to look through the data, digest everything they've learned, and maybe whether that will help you succeed right away.
Yeah, as I said before, I think the way I'm coming into the series couldn't really have been better, because, you know, it's still very early. I mean, last race was just a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, I've already been to the team once, and I will be there couple of times more before the first test. So, you know, we have plenty of time to go through everything, you know, videos, data, what have you. You know, I'm not really worried to get up to speed, especially on the road courses. I think we'll be pretty straightforward. I mean, my biggest learning curve will be the ovals, definitely. That's where I really need help from the team. And, you know, I'm like a boy first day in school, you know, when it comes to the ovals, and I just need all the input I can get. So I think that will be the main focus. And, you know, once I've done my first oval test, you know, that's, you have to ask me then how confident I am. You know, it's one of those things that sometimes you just do it and it works really good. Sometimes you do something and you feel like it's going to be a big uphill, but what I'm confident is that, you know, I will get there. You know, I know that I always get there whatever I drive. Normally it goes quick, but it could go slow, so that's what we have to be prepared for.
It sounds a lot like my high school years when I first started dating, but that's a very different topic, Felix. And I guess it is also worth pointing out that in your abbreviated Indy Lights season, you did get a little bit of oval experience, but I know this might be an area where you lean on Dixie quite a bit, and obviously knowing how big of a role Dario plays in the team in terms of kind of coaching and mentor and such, as you said, you're coming into a pretty darn good situation, man, where whatever new things you're having to pick up, even if it's ovals, you got some smart people with a lot of Indy 500 rings on their fingers to draw from.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of, you know, Dario and Scott, you know, Scott was such a huge deal in this whole thing. You know, I think honestly, I was more happy when Scott got confirmed than my own confirmation, because I just remember I woke up and saw that he'd renewed for a multi-year deal, and then I just knew that okay, let's go for this, let's get this done, you know, because this is exactly what I want, to be next to Scott, and you know, to have Dario there as well would be awesome. And yeah, I think that just completed the whole thing. And yeah, I will really, you know, I'm not gonna be, you know, his little apprentice, but I'm gonna ask him as much as I can, you know. And I think he's the kind of guy that will definitely, you know, he won't be any bullshit with him. He would just, you know, he would be helpful and do what he can to help me as well, I think. And I think he's also looking forward to, you know, having me in the team and see if I can challenge him as well, because I think that's an ultimate situation if both drivers can sort of challenge each other each session and take ourselves to a new level. And let's see how it goes. I'm sure it will be big help to have them both there.
Let me throw in a question here, Felix, before we jump over to Twitter and Facebook and then wind up here. Tell me about some of the other drivers you know you're going to face. An Alexander Rossi, for example, a Will Power, Newgarden, Hunter Ray, Ray Hall, Hinch. We've got a lot of really strong, very proven people that you're going up against. Beyond your Ganassi team, how much are you looking forward to, I know it's only your rookie year, but how much are you looking forward to going up against some of these other big names too, and hopefully putting them in your rearview mirror as well?
Yeah, I think you mentioned Will Power especially. You know, he's I've been a big fan of him for a long time. I really respect his driving, especially on street circuits. His quali laps are always really spectacular to watch.
He's insane, but that's why we love him.
From early days, let's say, in his career, he's done some crazy laps, and really enjoyed to watch that. Then, as you said, Alex Rossi has been really strong in the last year. I mean, arguably the quickest driver last year. Then I'm facing Zach Veach again, who was my teammate in Bilardi in Indy Lights, and that's going to be so much fun. I really had a great time with Zach, and looking forward to race with him again. Yeah, and then we have all the guys that are like super good on ovals. I mean, like Canaan and Hunter Ray and Hinchcliffe, you know, I think they are, I really respect what they can do on an oval. When I look at the races, you know, you see some of the passes they are doing, and even tracks like Phoenix. I think it was Hunter Ray in Phoenix when he overtook like 3-4 cars on the outside. You know, that's something I feel I cannot do at this point.
Yeah.
I'm just watching in admiration, let's say. So it's going to be good to have those guys there to push myself.
I love the fact that even though this is going to be your first full-time adventure in North America, you know, folks, I think, are clear in understanding that you have been watching, you've been studying, and you know what you're getting yourself into, which I like that aspect as well. You know, all right, let's go with one question here to kick off on Facebook, and it's someone who asked something very basic. How do you pronounce your last name?
So, if I'm speaking Swedish, I would say Rosenqvist, but I always say Rosenqvist. I mean, basically, as you said before, that's as soon as I'm speaking Swedish, I find it more natural to say it that way. Otherwise, it sounds a bit like I'm have two personalities or something. So, let's stick to Rosenqvist. I think that's good.
Well, that's an interesting twist then, because I've been pronouncing the V, Rosenqvist, but I guess a W.
Yeah, that's more how you would pronounce it in Sweden, but it just, I'm not going there. I think it's better, like most people say it. I mean, as it looks, let's say.
All right, well, it sounds sexy, so we'll just go with that then. Let's see. We've got some, definitely got some good ones here. Eli Hoopengarner from Twitter says, Felix, how did driving in low temperatures of Sweden play any, if, in any role in your development as a driver? And that's something that I think WRC drivers forever have been asked, you know, from whichever snowbound country. Did that help you in your car control or otherwise? Curious if that's played any role for you in your car control.
You know, the fun thing is I never really raced in Sweden. I did one season in Formula Renault 2009, which was on very, you know, bumpy, tight, twisty circuits. Not too different from American circuits, just a little bit smaller. I think that was a very good school. That probably helped me when it comes to, like, street circuit racing a lot. But when it comes to, like, low temperatures and so, you know, in Sweden, you only really race, like, during the summer. And the off-season is, like, 7 months. So, because of the darkness that comes and the temperatures. So I wouldn't say it's played a huge factor. I would say some winters in Sweden when I've driven my road car, maybe that's been a better school, you know, drifting around on the snow back home in Värnamo where I'm born, if anything. So yeah, minor impacts, I would say.
Not quite Felix the Drift King, but, you know, we have time. And if you're going to be in Indianapolis during winters, trust me, you'll be drifting all over the place in that snow.
So you need rear-wheel drive, then, for sure.
I'll get you connected to a good Subaru dealer, so we can get you a nice STI with about 600 horsepower. Let's go to Travis Bender, who says, really looking forward to seeing you. Welcome to IndyCar. And which tracks are you looking forward to the most? And which ones do you think might be the most challenging?
That's a fun question. I think Long Beach is the one I really look forward to discovering. That looks really cool. I mean, I'm a street circuit fan, and, you know, I want to do as many as I can, and that's really high on that list, next to Monaco, I would say, which I haven't done the full Monaco, only the half the one from Lake. Then Toronto will be really cool to come back to, which I had two wins at in Indy Lights, so good memories from there. And then Road America and Laguna Seca, I think. Maybe those are the three that I really look forward to try. The most challenging one, maybe Iowa, looks like.
Ooh.
I mean, I've driven at Indy in Indy Lights, and, you know, it's more like a normal track. I think the super speedways are more similar to normal circuits, and the short ovals are really technical. I mean, I drove at Phoenix, and now we don't have it anymore, but Iowa looks like a tricky one with a bump and, you know, quite low banking, etc. So, yeah, that would be a tough one.
I think you're going to come away from your first laps at Texas saying, are you guys serious? Are you kidding me? You guys, really? You actually do this here? I think that
one. When I saw the vid, I think it was from Ray Hall, the onboard, like the last 10 laps a couple of years ago, when they were like 4 or 5
wide. Oh, yeah.
That's one of the most impressive racing videos I've ever seen. I mean, I think I watch it like 100 times.
Oh yeah, and you're probably still peeing yourself every time, because it's like, oh my god. Yeah,
like that, sparks flying, and that was real. Let's see.
That one was fairly insane. Let's see, gonna look through here, through a few on Facebook, and then we will let you on to the rest of your day, my man. This one comes in from Victor Vallée, who says, Felix, what are your goals in IndyCar for 2019? Well, that's a good one. I know your immediate thought was probably win the Indy 500, win the championship, destroy everybody. But, you know, that would be impressive for a rookie. But do you have any goals where you'd say, okay, that's realistic?
I mean, I would normally say the same every time I enter a championship. it's stupid to say, I mean, a number, let's say, I mean, finish top 5 or top 10 or whatever. I would say winning a race is my first goal. That's always something I target when I come to a new championship, winning a race, and something I've achieved in almost every championship I've been. So that's the first box to tick. And then my long-term ambition is to win the championship. I mean, I think those are the two real goals. Then whatever happens between, you know, is that's something to worry about then. But yeah, that's what I'm aiming for.
Greg Fetchick asks, Felix, at what point did you decide that Formula One was no longer an option? And actually, I don't know if you've decided that or not, but have you decided whether F1 is still something you want to pursue in the future? And was it hard, he asks, for you to decide to focus on North America?
Well, I think I would say that F1 is something I've had in my thoughts always, you know, when I've been doing career choices and, you know, being in Formula E, for example. You know, in Formula E, in that world, you're close to Formula One because you have the same manufacturers, you have a lot of same team bosses and team managers that have been in Formula One and that works in Formula One, and it's quite a related world to that. So going away from that, I mean, you know that you're moving one step away from Formula One politically, but when it comes to the actual car itself, it's actually more similar. I mean, as Marcus Ericsson said, now that he wants to be in a championship where he can still, you know, prove that he's a Formula One subject, and I think IndyCar is probably the best place to be when it comes to that. I mean, also Super Formula that I drove a couple of years ago, that was an attempt for me to go to Formula One as well, because the car is similar. But yeah, I think Formula One is never simple, and we probably see more guys, you know, losing their careers for chasing it too hard rather than actually getting there. So I would say it's always interesting, but going to America means that I'm not actively putting myself on the radar anymore. Then whether that makes a difference or not, I'm not the one to ask.
No, fair enough. Let's see. Last couple here for you. Now, this is a fun one. This comes in from Robbie Bergeron. He says, Felix, do you have a friendly bet with Stefan that you can either equal or improve his podium finish in his first kart race when you turn up to St. Pete? I like that idea, you know? Hey, old fart. Congratulations on your podium when you debuted in IndyCar, but let's place a bet that I can actually go better. I like the sound of that one.
Simple. You just have to go for it.
And what would the bet be? That's what I want to know. What would you bet, Steph? Because, you know, money, watches, he's got everything he needs.
He has everything.
Well, I'm trying to... what could we need?
Honor. Pride.
How about
hold us on the line.
How about if he loses the bet, he goes a day without putting any product in his hair, and he just lets it fall down and look like a mop? That would be fun. I don't know what
okay.
He would. Yeah, I think we got to figure it out here.
That sounds like a good deal.
Well, but we love Steph. We don't want him to walk around looking silly like I do most of the time.
He'll be okay.
All right. Yeah, he does have a pretty darn good life. Oh, that reminds me. I gotta talk to him about the art show that he had. So, see, I'm actually remembering things here too. Let's see. Let's pick one or two more, and then we will bid farewell to the show here. This one comes in from Andrew C., which I never thought about this. He says, for Felix, how often do you get confused with Kevin Magnussen in the European racing scene? And I didn't think about that till now, but yeah, when you get the beard going, I guess some folks might get a little bit confused.
Yeah, I think back in the beard days, you know, now I don't really have much of a beard anymore, but yeah, I actually had people coming up to me and like doing selfies, and they said, like, thanks, Kevin. And especially when I did a race in Hong Kong in Formula E, my first ever race, I think there was probably as many as 5-6 girls that came up and thought I was Kevin Magnussen and wanted to have a picture. So,
and you
yeah,
just,
it happens quite a lot.
And you didn't correct them, right? You just went with it? Yes, you bet.
Yeah, I just let them be happy, and you know, maybe in a couple of years they will notice that something's wrong in their little picture gallery.
See, you've got a big heart too. Well, on that, Felix, why don't we go ahead and let you go? I know I've mentioned this before and over the past couple of years how much I really was hoping we'd get to see you over here. And again, I think just by the amount of questions from folks coming in before you've even done your first race, it's pretty clear a lot of folks are looking forward to the Felix Rosenquist experience coming to IndyCar. We know you're going to be fast, but I think folks are also going to enjoy getting to know you, getting a feel for your personality. You throw in Pato O'Ward coming up from Indy Lights, Colton Herta coming in. Man, next year is going to be a wicked rookie crop. So I know you're looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. And I think IndyCar has a big hype right now, and it's getting bigger, more rookies coming in, new faces. And yeah, I'm really, really appreciate all the support I already have in the series. So it will not be hard to go there. Let's put it that way.